Hi, and welcome back to the Business of Healthcare podcast. I'm your host, Tara Humphrey. I run an award-winning healthcare consultancy specialising in supporting primary care networks. I'm a facilitator. I am a mum of three. I have an MBA, and I would class myself as a bit of an adventurer. And I absolutely love all things business, all things leadership, all things management. So I created this podcast for clinical and non-clinical colleagues working in the field of health and care, and for those of you looking to develop your leadership skills. Every week we release an episode which focuses on the hard and soft skills required to lead in this increasingly complex environment as we move to delivering more integrated care. So let's jump into this week's episode. Hey, and welcome back to the Business of Healthcare podcast. I hope you guys are doing well. So I have a solo podcast for you today, and it's inspired by a couple of conversations that I've had with my general practice and primary care network clients. But the topic is relevant to anybody that runs a business or runs a team and has responsibility over the hiring budget. These lessons are honestly universal. So first up, I wanted to share a conversation I had with a primary care network who approached me because they wanted some advice and support on recruiting their next primary care network manager. The network, I believe, had five practices in it, and three of those practices were on the call in the form of their practice managers and co-clinical directors, so two clinical directors. And what emerged during that call is that the network really didn't have a vision for the primary care network manager role, and they didn't really have support for that particular role. They wanted a manager to come in and fix things, essentially. And they wanted a manager to help coordinate and facilitate deliverables around a contract, which we call the DES. Now, in my experience of running a business and supporting over 120 networks in a variety of capacities, I really do not believe primary care networks or any organization should recruit a role if they do not have a vision for the network or their organization and have a vision for the manager in this instance. And the reason why I say this is because in the primary care network where you are supporting multiple organizations, if the network doesn't want to be a network and they feel that they only are doing it because they feel like they have to because someone's holding a gun to their head, that is not a nice working environment to be in. To be the primary care network manager, dragging practices along to do things they don't really want to be in, is a miserable job. And that person would have left a job and they will likely have financial responsibilities to come into a job which there's no vision, there's no support, there's no will. They just want the manager to do stuff without the vision and without the support. And I just feel really, really strongly about this. Everybody goes on about it, the importance of having a vision. You can run a business without a vision, but when you've got it, it makes life so much easier and it creates the culture and the environment for your team to get on board. Because they know where we're going. They can weather the storms. They can weather the peaks and troughs and ups and downs because there is a sense of direction. We are heading north. But if there's no sense of direction, you can't expect your team to be all in and present and loyal and go above and beyond because they don't know where they're going. Specifically to primary care networks, in my experience, the manager comes in and without the context, because they're new and naive to the situation, naive to the organization, they think, what's wrong with me? Why am I not progressing? Why are people not responsive to me? Why are they not helping me to help themselves? And they will often internalize that and think that they are the problem. They need to do more. And that's really, really stressful. So everybody says it, and hopefully I'm saying it in a different way which resonates with you if the hire slowly, fire fast doesn't resonate. Make sure you have a vision. Make sure the role is wanted by everybody involved. Make sure the role has got clear defined roles and responsibilities with flexibility, of course. And do not hire in a rush. And if you're listening to this and you are the person applying for the role, do your due diligence. Interview the interviewers. Really ask them, what is the culture of this organization? What's the vision for this organization? Where do you see this organization in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? Where do you see this role in 3 years, 5 years? What led to you hiring this role? Why did the last person leave? What is it that you're really looking for? What are you currently struggling with? What do you think my biggest challenge will be in this role? Hopefully you can have a really in-depth conversation in your interview so both parties know where you are. The hiring side, don't make promises you can't keep. Don't say your organization, your primary care network is one thing when it's not. I don't know if I sound really mean, but I just see it so many times. These are people's lives, and I don't think we should mess about with them. I think it's unfair and irresponsible to bring somebody into an employed role where the vision is really, really unclear. And if the vision isn't clear, if you say we don't have a vision, this network, my organization, we are in troubled waters and we are looking for somebody to help us navigate this, and it may be challenging. Just be straight up. I can only speak from my own experience, is that just take a breath before you make your next hiring decision. Hopefully, I've labored the point. And the second part of this podcast is around when to let people go. And this conversation is actually inspired by my sister's business, who my sister doesn't work in healthcare, has been in business for 10 years and a primary care client. And essentially, what my sister said to me was one of her biggest lessons in the 10 years she's run her business is that she's kept people on that she knew were not right in the long term for the business because she liked them. And yes, they were good at their job, but they weren't quite the right fit. And she let her emotions get in the way and convinced herself, no, it'll be fine, it'll be fine, it'll be fine. And that led to difficult times. So knowing this, and you will have your own experiences that you can draw on as leaders of organizations, our focus and mindset always needs to be on. The business needs to fulfill its objectives and it needs to be financially sustainable. The business needs to treat people well and meet their legal obligations. And I think for this reason and my own lessons learned is why I'm not big on the notion of this business is like a family. We're close and we may be family-like. The employees in my business are not my family, because when I start to think about that, I prioritize their personal needs over the needs of the business, which then will go on to affect their personal needs because I may make decisions which cannot sustain the business in its current form. There is a separation. I know that's a personal thing. I'm not saying you need to treat your organization like that. It doesn't mean I don't care. It doesn't mean we're not close, but there is a separation. And I think many of you will be able to listen to this and relate to that feeling, you know, like that gnawing feeling in your gut, or that constant, you know, thought which keeps going round, like, are they right? Or we could do this, or maybe we could do this. Or maybe I could put them in that role. Or maybe I could take this responsibility away from them. Or, but they're really loyal and they're really lovely people and I trust them. They're not quite doing the job, but I don't want to lose them because it would be disruptive to the team. But they're not quite right, but I don't want to get rid of them. You know what to do. The question is, what does the business need? And can you afford to have people in the business, in your network, that don't deliver? And it's really, really difficult. I'm not sitting here thinking these are easy decisions to make. They're hard decisions to make and they can be emotional decisions to make, but that's where the boundary needs to come in, to take a step back and think, what does this business need? Is everybody in the right seat? Is it as simple as just shuffling the seats around if there is a bit of inefficiency or things aren't happening and things are falling through the gaps, or despite my shuffling the seats, things still keep falling through the gaps. I still keep having the same conversation in my mind or with people in the team thinking about, is Tara right for the team? And just to emphasize, you'd also alongside this, is Tara right for the team or is this person right for the team? Is, have I done all that I possibly can to support this person? Is there a vision? Is there training? Is there support and supervision? Is there guidance? Is there performance monitoring? We don't want to be getting rid of people because we've failed to do our job. It's not about that. It's about really strategically thinking, this is where we're going and who do I need with me? And what do I need these people to do? And what resources and support do I need to wrap around them so they can be the success that they need to be? And if they cannot be the success they need to be in this organization, then they can do that somewhere else. And that's no shade. It's like, I don't want to tether somebody if I don't want to prevent somebody from reaching their full potential. And for them to being really, really happy at work and for them to feeling like they're really making a difference and they can really make a difference in a different organization, which has got that support and structure. So I think in both of the examples I've presented around, should you hire when you're not sure and you don't have a vision, or you may have a team member which is not quite right. They're not quite the right fit. They're not bad people or anything like that. And I think the themes of both of these examples is we have responsibilities as a leader to make the right decisions, have the sometimes difficult conversations, to be able to support people to be the best that they can be. And sometimes that might be in our organization, and sometimes that may be out of our organization. Look at your strategic plan. And if you haven't got it written down, make a strategic plan. Really think about the roles in your organization and where development is required and needed. And that may be development in yourself. And that's absolutely fine. We're all learning. None of us are perfect. And if anybody says that they are lying. Okay. And I just wanted to say that, yes, you can have a strategic plan and you can have a vision, but there's always an element of uncertainty regarding the demand and capacity in your business or the direction of your business. It depends on what forces affect your business, which may create a sudden change. I think one of the questions I want to leave you with is, are you doing everything that is within your control to make sure you're bringing the right people in at the right time, providing the support and the direction? And if it's time to move people round and shuffle them on again, are you doing that, or are you just putting your head in the sand and hoping things will change without proactively doing anything to help that change? So this episode's a bit heavy, I know, but these are the real life conversations that I'm having with my sister, my clients, I've had at THC. I will have at THC because things do change and I need to make sure I am doing everything that I can to grow and protect what I am building. So there's lots to unpack here. So I will leave the questions that I've posed in the show notes for you to share, revisit, build upon. If the questions don't quite sit right with you, you know, you amend them to make them feel right for you. And I really hope that you found this episode helpful. Thank you so much for joining us. If you like what you hear, I would absolutely love it if you left us an iTunes rating and 5-star review. I know many of you give us a shout out on social media, which is lovely to see you guys listening to the podcast. So please come and find us on Twitter at THC Primary Care, on Instagram and on LinkedIn. Just look for Tara Humphrey. And if you're not subscribed to our newsletter, please do. You get to hear more insights, more confessions, some tips and tools, and a roundup of our activity over the week. So click on join the newsletter in the show notes, and I will see you in the next episode.